Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Jerusalem, Jerusalem, stoning the prophets, killing those who come against you. Isn't it a great irony that the city whose name literally means place or house of peace, shalom, is the place in the Bible where more conflict is than anywhere else in the whole story of the Bible. Most of the conflicts dwell around this place that God intended to be the place of peace. And that's not a great irony perhaps lost on us in our own times. We have seen that places that should have been places of lifting up freedom, democracy, those kind of issues that as political bodies we have agreed upon for many, many years, are the very places, whether it's the capital, whether it's Kiev, different places, have become places of conflict and disunity. Jesus speaks to this directly to the people. He tells them later, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, stoning the prophets, killing those who were sent against you. If only you knew the way of peace. Now you're probably expecting me to give you a discernment about world peace, the conflict in Ukraine, but I think those are low-hanging fruit for us. In our time, in ages that we have been given into, we have clearly seen what happens when people don't live in harmony and peace with one another, when God's intention of shalom is broken. I don't think I need to remind you. You're all too smart people. You've lived through times. You've seen what's going on in the world. No one needs to be convinced that these conflicts and issues that tear us apart are dangerous. But we deal with them, we may not be able to agree on. But the realization that we live in times in which there is a stretching of these fabrics that we have thought held us together for a while should give us some empathy for the people of Jerusalem, who thought they lived in the place of peace, but whose lives were about to be disrupted greatly. Why? Why is probably a good question we all ask. Maybe Jerusalem's story will help us. For you see, the problem with Jerusalem, the city of peace, was that they grew quite proud of themselves. By the time Jesus comes on the scene, what had been the place that was supposed to be a place of refuge, the gathering of the nations, the bringing together of desperate people under the shadow of God's love, had turned into, if you're not with us, you're against us, kind of an attitude. That those who did not stand with Jerusalem were seen as enemies, not just those who opposed it. And pride grew, that they thought of themselves as better than the people around. This is where conflict comes from. It comes from this notion that we somehow get this elevated sense of ourselves, and that we are better, and therefore we can take things from other people, or we cannot treat other people with the same dignity that we wish to be treated upon. Is the story of Jerusalem and its fall not the lack of God's activity, but the fact that when we do such things, all of us turn away from God? For that is not God's desire. God's desire for us, I think, is clear throughout Scripture, that God will take care of us. Notice how all these lessons, and the Sunday school class already knows this, I'm preaching to the choir here, about how God calls upon us to wait. That God calls upon us in the midst of things we don't understand, like Abram. Abram's bucking 90 here when the story's told. The idea that he's going to have a child is not an easy one. He's afraid that his kingdom, his all that he's possessed, will go to someone else. And God tells him, I made a promise. Now, looking back, we can say that's great, and we can admire what Abraham did when he believed. But we have to understand his belief and trust in God was against his natural instincts for fear and to take advantage. It would have been easy for Abraham to say, God's not going to do it. I'm going to take over something. I'm going to create a space for me. I'm going to create my own heritage. But he's asked to allow God to create this heritage through him. Like the stars in the sky and the sands on the beach shall be his descendants. Abraham didn't know that. Abraham's faith was that he trusted God, had a vision and a plan, and he didn't try to make it happen his way, but allowed God to. This, I think, is the heart of shalom that is the hardest for us to understand. That shalom is not something we create, but it's something we allow God to create through us. That we are not in charge of the universe, no more than we're in charge of the weather. Our task is not called to make things work out, to make sure we take care of ourselves, number one. That's what Paul calls the God of the belly. You know, that's sort of what my professor in seminary used to call looking at our own belly button and seeing nothing else. Because we're focused on ourselves. But it is instead to look out. To look outward and wonder how God is going to be at work in the world. And even when we don't see it, which Abraham didn't see, which David didn't see, which those around Jesus didn't see, but some believed would happen. This is faith. If we think we know the future, that's not faith. If we're sure we've got a plan, if only people would follow it, the world would be better. That's not faith. Faith is letting go. The peace of God is letting go of that sense of trying to dominate others, trying to force things into our way. Even some of the worst things that have been done in human history were done with good intentions. And almost every one of them was done out of fear. Peace is, in God's vision, the replacement of fear. It is letting go of the things we can't control and being willing to trust and hope and act. I really do believe it's going to happen. This is the importance of Jerusalem. The people of Jerusalem had it all. They had the temple. They had the prophets. They had the messengers come to them over and over again, just saying, just trust God. Just act and live as though God was at work in the world. Don't fear. Don't try to conquer. Don't try to monopolize. But they were not able to do so. And the challenge for us, are we? Are we able to put aside the fears that can ruin our lives and make us seize and grab and look only to protect ourselves? In the midst of a very frightening world, and there's no doubt about the fact the world is frightening, but when has it never been frightening? When have there been times in the world in which there have not been challenges and opposition to God? David, his own son Absalom, turned against him and tried to take over the kingdom and plotted to kill him. And yet it is said of David that he wept over his son and said, Absalom, Absalom, if only I had died instead. I believe the message of the cross, the message that we all have, is that's the way God treats all of us in this world. The way David thought of his son. We are rebellious. We are sometimes prone to giving in to our fears and frightening things. We sometimes look at the world and just want to shut everything off. God looks at the world and is moved to compassion, offering him very self on a cross for the very thing that David could not do for his son. Offering his son. This is the peace that Jerusalem was meant to be. The peace that God can be in my life and in yours. It doesn't just have to do with issues and things around the world. It starts with how we truly believe that in baptism, we are called by God, knowing how rebellious and sinful we can be at times, how easily we can give in to fears and anxieties, to still be the people of God. And how God's blessings and peace, that peace of purpose and living and caring for one another, can be lived out even in the imperfect times that we live in. Just like the imperfect times that every generation has lived before us. I ran through a story that I probably have told before. You have to forgive me. I don't remember the stories I told 5 years ago, much less the ones I may have told you all over the years. But I found this in a newspaper clipping. And it stayed with me. There was a fire in a brooder house in down North Carolina. And they found a mother hen who had used her body to shield the little ones, some of whom survived underneath her, by offering herself. That in itself is pretty remarkable, isn't it? That power and capacity that God has given us to take what we have and offer it for the sake of others, to be moved to compassion for something other than ourselves. But what was more remarkable was that when they scattered the chickens out, the little chickens, they were not all hers. They were pretty obviously from different families. And yet they all found shelter under one set of wings. This is the peace of Christ. That we need to look outward into the world with compassion and caring for others. To not see everyone else as an enemy. To not let our fears about how things are going to work out get in the way of being the shield. Our wings, our arms, our hands can be the shelter of those who do not belong to our gifted family. Belong to the family of God's creation. This is the peace that Jesus wished so desperately for Jerusalem. This is the peace the cross offers us. We are all one family under God's mighty wings. And the call is to live like people. No matter how different we might be, who belong to the same family. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how I long to gather you under my wings. Amen.